KSL at Night.
Here with us again on KSL at Night alongside Leah Murray. I'm your host this evening, Greg Skordis. And Leah, let's stay on the topic of elections, the presidential election, and talk about a new Wall Street Journal poll that looks into seven swing states. You have decided that Florida is not one of those swing states.
And Greg Skordis, I have not decided. The voters for the last 25 years have decided, but go ahead.
24. Okay. So let's talk about seven swing states. And because, I mean, let's face it, that's what usually ends up happening in this country. We have states that are like Utah. We're going to vote for Trump. Florida, who knows what they're going to go. And other states are going to go California, New York, probably going to go Democrat. We'll see. But there are seven states that we look at.
So let's name the seven so that everyone knows. And so everyone pay attention that none of these names are going to sound like Florida. Georgia, Arizona, Michigan, North Carolina, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin. So these are the states that it will matter in November how they go. So when we're all watching, like on election night, paying attention, we will be watching how these states go. I love you, but no one will be watching Florida.
Right. Okay. And the good news for Trump, bad news for Biden, is Biden is not doing well in these states, in any of them, except Wisconsin.
That's right. So he is only leading in Wisconsin. He's trailing in all of the other states.
Okay, there's a caveat, because a lot of the voters were asked, or at least there seems to be a some notion that the trial that Trump is facing in April, if he's found guilty, could swing those numbers.
Yeah, so people are talking about if he is found guilty, then we're talking anywhere from 7 to 14 point drop in people wanting to vote for him.
Yeah.
So while he is just on trial, does that make sense? Like, it doesn't hurt him and maybe even helps him because maybe someone gives him money. But if he were to be found guilty of any of the number of charges that are pending against him, and Greg, do you remember what that number is? It's not 91 anymore because some of them got knocked down.
Yeah, they got some tossed. I don't remember. It's still a lot.
Yeah, but if he gets found guilty of any of those, he tanks. Does that make sense? Like,
sure.
I think part of the reason why Nikki Haley stayed in so long was she was kind of counting on having enough delegates in case that does happen between now and the Republican National Convention.
Let me follow up with that.
Yeah.
If he's acquitted of all, let's say, 75 counts, that's going to help his numbers.
I'm not sure that's true.
I think if a lot of people feel that this is a political prosecution, and knowing in America that it's hard to hit heads 75 times, you know what I mean? I'm just guessing 75 counts. And he wins 75 out of 75. People have got to think this was a political prosecution. Right or wrong?
Right. But I think those people will have already decided how they feel.
Yeah.
Right? That 7 to 14 point drop is not Biden voters or independents. It would be the Republicans who probably don't really like Trump very much, but he's their guy because that's their party.
Right.
Like, that would be the final straw.
And independents who are not crazy about Biden because of his age or other things. Right. Right.
Right. So when we look at these, one, we're worried for Biden, if you worried for Biden, right? Like, we're worried he might lose. For the record, Biden's not worried. It's interesting. There was an article about his last campaign. This will be his last campaign. And he's feeling pretty confident. So I don't know what he knows.
What else does he say?
Yeah,
what else does he
no,
say?
But
he's
like,
worried to death.
Insiders are saying he's not worried. But let's take a look at what we see inside of these polls. So if Taylor were on the show with us, Greg, he would say, we got to look in the crosstabs.
Yeah,
right? We got to drive down.
Look at the numbers.
Look at this data. So what we see are men are moving. So in these states, 46% of men voted for Biden in 2020. Now 37% of men are polling that they support him. So he loses
9%.
A number.
Yeah, that's a big drop. That's a big drop.
That's a big drop. And this is a kind of begs the second question, which is that it's minority voters who are men. So Black and Latino men are drifting toward Trump, with Latino men actually outright liking Trump better. So they are polling, they like Trump better than they like Biden. So it's men who have moved, and it's like minority men. Does that make sense? Who have moved in Trump's favor?
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. I really don't. I mean, is there such a fear with Biden's age, or are there other factors going on here? Because it's hard to imagine Latino and Black men supporting Trump, given his agenda. I'll just be straight.
Well,
it's hard for me to understand that.
So it's not hard for me to understand it, at least for Latino men. I mean, I think Hispanic population in this country is relatively conservative, right? And I think if you were someone who cared about like social issues, like, I don't know, abortion. The reason there's no longer abortion in this country is because of Trump, hands down. Right. So I think that might matter. And that to me might explain why it's Latino men and not women. Right. Because okay. I do think women move in a different direction around abortion than men generally do.
Right.
So that might make some sense. And I do think that former President Trump pulled on doing so many things for black men in this country, so many things for Latino men in this country, that it's possible that's landing with some of them.
Even though none of it was true. I'm sorry. Greg, I'm sorry.
All right. So let's talk about, in the last segment, we talked about Florida and I talked about young voters. Does that make sense? So young voters were a huge part of Biden's coalition. In fact, I would argue they were necessary for his election in 2020. And they are moving away from Biden. Not so much toward Trump, just kind of disaffected. Does that make sense?
They're kind of drifting
out of this election. But what's interesting is older people favored Trump in 2020, but in these polls, they're drifting toward Biden. So a little bit, I wonder if like the whole country's saying he's too old.
And old people are going, wait a minute.
Yeah. And all these, you know, members of the American Association of Retired Persons who have plenty of
time on that Tuesday. Be careful.
Who can show up to vote and will actually vote. Maybe it actually helps in his favor, which would be very interesting.
Yeah. And then we talk about third party options. When we talk about those, we're talking about Kennedy.
Yeah.
Good for Kennedy.
No, there's other people like Jill Stein in the Green Party's running.
But the name that I think that we would expect the most support for. Actually, I thought that third parties would take away from Biden, but it looks like they're pulling away from Trump.
Well, it depends.
I don't understand that.
Right. All right. So let's talk about that. So if the third party is on the ballot, what we have is a 15-point draw away from the major candidates. Does that make sense? So third parties in our country's system basically operate as spoilers. Kennedy looks like he would draw as much as 15% in Nevada, 12% in Michigan, 7% in Pennsylvania. And it looks like he is a threat to Trump in those states. So Republicans' view of him are favorable, whereas Democrats actually are unfavorable. But when we add the other candidates, Jill Stein, Lars Mapstead, Cornel West, those people combined pull from Biden. So if it's a head-to-head like Kennedy, Biden, Trump, that hurts Trump. If it's a head-to-head, right? Like, you know what I mean? I add all these other people, then Biden takes a hit.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. You hear so many people more than I've ever remember in my lifetime saying, I can't vote for either of the major party candidates. And so these third party candidates could be an important part of this election more than they've ever been. We've never thought about them. I mean, who is that? Ross Perot.
1992.
You're so smart. And the country hasn't changed much since then.
I know you think that.
But, you know, he was a third party candidate, actually did fairly well, but not, you know, he didn't get some momentum for third party candidates. We just haven't seen that.
No. And so the thing that's interesting is it will totally depend on the state. So the state of Utah right now, this is the only state Kennedy's on the ballot. So our LG was like, come on in.
Yeah.
You could just be on the ballot. We're so happy for you. But so again, right, listed, we got names. Cornel West, Jill Stein, Mapstead. We've got Kennedy. It really depends on state rules and ballot access in those states, Greg, for those contexts. So I can poll.
Time's wasting for Kennedy if he's only on one state so far.
Yeah, he's got some work to do.
That doesn't look good.
But so the answer basically is the polling. I can just add all the names, but the ballot's going to be tighter. So we'll see how that looks in those states.
So you mentioned the third party candidates, and I'm not going to have you break them down. But how would they affect Biden adversely?
So if it's Cornel West, that's a left.
Okay.
Right. Does that make sense? If it's Jill Stein, that's environmentalist. So if you feel Biden is not good on climate change, Jill Stein is a choice for you. Right.
Interesting.
So, yeah.
Right.
Okay. The last takeaway, Wisconsin, he is winning. And the interesting thing about Wisconsin is those voters reported that the economy is doing well. They feel like they're doing well. And then they like Biden better. So the message in there, right, Greg, is if Biden can persuade people that actually things are going well economically, which I would argue they actually kind of are,
right.
Then that might be a path forward for his victory.
It's interesting. Yes, because Biden is pushing so hard his economic policies and where we are. And you look and you think, well, the stock market's at an all-time high. Unemployment's at a fairly almost all-time low. Things are pretty good. But a lot of young people, and they're a big part of the vote this year, can't afford homes because interest rates are high. That could change between now and the time of the election, too. I think Trump's concerned that the Fed might do that for political reasons. Of course, the Fed's apolitical as much as it could be, but they could very well have a drop in interest rates between now and then, which could affect the people's view on the economy. When we come back after the break, let's continue our discussion on elections, this time how it's intersecting with the markets.